Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, what's up with you, man?
Blog Talk Radio, man.
Let's go. Whether the crib or you cruising, if you ain't tuned in to Dennis Live Show from 4 to 5:30, then you losing. It's about that time. Go on, hit the line. Go on, get your friend. Speak your mind or listen in. You know we about to get it in. Log on or listen in. Dennis Live, you so many internet gigabytes. Bill Gates, listen in. Love for other blog sites. When comparing the shadow of the cities, it's like bringing cats to a dog fight. When peso spit is pure talent. You couldn't see me if you turned on your halogens. Your half beams are fog like shat drop bombs. Info like triple dub. Western World ONE.com. The shat drop bombs. Need some info like triple W's. Western World ONE.com. Yes, it's live. And 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 it's live. Tuned in. And it's live. And it's live. And it's live. Dennis Live.
Sleep Dilla Productions.
Soundmaster T.
WesternWorld.com. www.westernworldone.com. Blog Talk Radio. Chi-Town, what up? Let's go. You already know me.
Oh man, it's going down. Ask my question. What you know about that? What you know about that? What you know about that? Man, what's going on, family? Because I call everybody my family, family. All the women, all the men, whoever. If you're gay, if you're straight, we all human beings, right? I care less what you are, man. About what God, you know what I'm saying, says within your heart. That's what it's about. But man, but today, man, I have to get it in, man. Today, I really have to talk about this. This right here, man, it's just an urban legend of what? You know what I'm saying? It's just an urban legend of what? Let me stop the music, man, because I need to know. Stop my music. Thank you. Now, it's just an urban legend of what, man? Say, the hardworking women are saying that they are mad because they feeling that they're paying their tax dollars and are supporting the public aid Section 8 women while they lay on their backs and have babies and their kids don't have no home training. So what do you feel about this? Is this an urban legend of what? I mean, like, for real? Like, man, like, seriously. Like, wow. Like, ooh-wee. Man, hey, I'm going to tell you like this. I know hardworking women going to call in. You know what I'm saying? I know they're going to call in, man. I know they're going to, you know, they mad. They pissed off. They like, man, look, man, Joe, I'm at work. I'm flipping these fries or I'm at work. I'm stapling fingers, you know, so I'm stapling my fingertips, my fingernails together. You know, I'm at work. I'm sitting up here doing these presentations for these people, man. They breath smelling like coffee and stinking and cheese and I got to do this $8 an hour job. Man, I'm at work doing this. This is what they thinking in their mind. You know what I'm saying? You know, the public aid woman at the crib, I guess the new dancing. I heard hood rats, they new dancing is twerking. This is what I heard, man. I'm not sure if this is true. I'm not sure if this is true or not. I'm not going to bash hood rats or, you know, there's nothing like that about my show. But I wanted to know, you know what I'm saying, if that's true. Even though that's a whole nother story, I'm going to find that for y'all too, man. I'm going to read that too, man, later on in the show. But today, man, I want to know, man, I'm getting a lot of posts, you know, from people telling me, like, you know, they on Section 8 and, you know, they have medical issues. You know what I'm saying? They worked for a long time and they qualified, you know what I'm saying, for the Section 8. And so now they, you know, they live in their life, you know. So I was like, okay, you know, it's a valid point because, you know, my uncle, you know, he on Section 8, you know, he can't do anything. He's, I'm not going to say impaired. Well, however you want to say it. Well, he, you know, he's partially blind. We're just going to say that. He's, you know, he's labeled as technically blind. He can still see, you know what I'm saying, but he can't see enough to, you know, really do a job or anything of that nature. And, you know, he also has a, you know, a drinking problem, you know, so I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Me personally, you know what I'm saying, I'm not even going to answer that question. But anyway, let me take that back. I want to know, what are your thoughts, man? You know, let me go ahead and let me do this here, man, so I can find that thing that you wrote, man. Let me do this here, man. I want to know, man. I need to know. Hey, and also, too, man, I don't know if y'all can hear that music. It sounds a little trashy to me a little bit, but, man, let me know. Okay. There you go. I need to know, man. What are your thoughts? The working women versus the public aid women. Section 8 too, I guess. You know, so they added in there. I just know women are mad. Mainly black women, because I asked a couple of Caucasians, and you know, a couple of Caucasians, man, they was like, well, first thing she said was, you people. Then she turned around and looked at me. She's like, I meant to say, and I said, no, go ahead, it's right, you people, go ahead, say it. And she's like, well, my thing is this. We work hard all our lives, and you know this is America. I said stop, and I walked away from the coffee machine. But you know, I just knew it wasn't gonna go the way that I wanted. But I asked a couple of sisters that, man. A couple of sisters was like, yeah, I'm truly upset. But we also have family members. But I don't know, man. I'm gonna go ahead. See, the phone lines are blowing up already. See, this is what I'm talking about. I'm gonna go ahead and play a quick song, man. Then what we're going to do is I'm going to bring in my co-host, and I'm going to explain my co-host to y'all before I bring this man on the line. I promise you. I'm going to explain this man to y'all, all right? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a quick song, then we're going to get back at it. All right, let's go, man. Who can I run today? I feel like, let me see this here. I'm going to go ahead, man. I'm going to play my boy. This is the women. Just for the women, I'm gonna play the Wolf Game session. Just for the women, man, from that Lost mixtape. Let's go.
It won't be no different. Got a nigga harder than algebra or arithmetic. Take it to the room and we settle all our differences. Overnight bag, I'm telling you what the business is.
Me, you party like a hurricane. Got a nigga sitting here splitting. Y'all don't wanna teach you a lesson. Me and you will end up flipping.
I'm so my life wanna break you off. Think you bad or think you good? Oh, that thing just
moves the
ball.
Yeah. Oh. Excuse me, I do my thing.
And my producer, man, Case. Case had did that beat, y'all, just in case y'all didn't know. But anyway, man, it's back to my show. It's my show. This today is my day, Joe. Today is my day. So I got to go ahead and play me some Turn Up music, man, so that way we can get it in. I'm going to play Turn Up music. Come on. I ain't gonna turn up that loud. But anyway, man, today's topic, man, we're talking about the working women versus the public aid women. And partially Section 18, you know what I'm saying? So the working women are mad. They mad. So what I did was, man, I went out, did a little history on it, man. You know what I'm saying? Did a little history, man. So I was just trying to see what are your thoughts? What do you think? You know what I'm saying? So what I'm going to do is this, man. I'm gonna bring in my co-host, man. Now, look, people, let me tell them. Hey, look, like Chris Tucker said, do you see the words that are coming out of this man's mouth? This dude here, man, this guy, man, his name is LB, man. This guy is very smart. He's politically stamped. This boy is touched far as gifted. He's a comedian, y'all. This dude, you would never know what comes out of this man's mouth. Just so y'all would know, LB, very spiritual. That boy would go get in a spiritual group conversation and start cracking jokes and then go back spiritual. So y'all would know what type of cat this dude is, man. So what I'm going to do is this, man. I'm going to bring in my boy, LB. LB, you in the building? What's up?
What's up, guys?
LB. LB.
Alright,
man, I just turned up for you, man. You know
what
I'm saying?
Can we
get your Instagram, man? You know what I'm saying? Man,
listen here.
What's up?
Do you know that is my daughter's favorite song? She likes that song when I play it. Yes, she loves Hustle. And I put the remix in the car. I don't care what song I'm listening to or I'm watching on TV when I'm in the car. That's her favorite song. She's like, Daddy, put on Hustle.
I'm listening to you. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to jam it, man. We're going to jam this out, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, look, man, let's get to business, man. Cause, I see the calls, man. The calls are coming in, man. Before I even ask you some questions, I'm going to read some things, all right? I'm going to read a few things, all right? I'm going to go with this first. It says low-income housing, Section 8. said the federal government offers various housing assistance programs to help individuals, families find affordable homes. Then it said Section 8 is also known as Housing Choice Voucher Program. It is one such as that provide rent assistance to qualified renters. Now, okay, then it breaks it down. Section 8 is a rent voucher program that allows you to find a house, townhome, apartment of your choice. Use the voucher to pay all or part of the rent. Okay, it can be any rental unit location, any neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. Okay, the goal for Section 8 voucher program is to provide a healthy and safe place for our choosing environment for reasonable rent costs. Okay, now this is the thing here. It said the requirement to qualify straightforward and is determined by your local public housing authority. In general, it depends on your total annual income, size of your family, and how long you live in the United States. Now, it says your total annual income, the size of your family, and how long you have been living in the United States of America. What are your thoughts on that, bro?
Man, listen. If you really need assistance, and I really do believe that there are people out there who have run on their luck, that things are just not working out for them, no matter which door, what carpet they look up under or whatever, you know, what door they open, you know, it's just like, man, you know, I'm getting hit from every angle, you know, I have a number of children to provide for that, you know, what can you say when their stomachs are touching their back, so on and so forth, that it is most definitely something that is supposed to be asked for and received, especially if you've been working a substantial amount of time and you've just fallen short on your luck. Now, where the problem lies in that is you become dependent upon the system, that you are a healthy individual, and now it's like a generational thing where you're on it, your kids grow up, they're on it, their kids grow up, they're on it, and at the end of the day, you're sitting back, and people who are really ill, people who are really ill, they do not get a chance to get medical assistance. They don't have insurance. And when they go to apply for it, they are turned down and denied.
Wow.
So at the end of it, sitting back and you're like, man, here, this healthy individual here, she walks right into the office and she just gets it. No problem. No background check. No nothing. How long have you been working? Barely. I've been, girl, I only been working at McDonald's 6 months and I went on down and applied and I got me some assistance. Girl, yeah. They asked me who my baby daddy was. I told him, shoot, girl, I didn't know. Just so I can get some cash. I got some cash. And, you know, ooh, girl, I'm living good. Here, all along, it's someone out there who really needs it, who really was scuffling out here working hard.
Okay.
And they weren't able to get it. Here, I've seen women where they've taken advantage of the Child Care Act, going out here saying that, you know, hey, I only make this amount of money, and they have the job, you know, and they do the fictitious job slip, you know, and so they send it in, and man, the copay is only $25 a month. And here's a woman who comes along who really needs child care assistance. She does everything right down to the letter T. She reports exactly how much she makes, so on and so forth. She's exhausted all of our possibilities where the child's father is not there and she may have, no fault of her own, she may have had 2-3 kids by, various men or maybe by the same man, and he just, fell through the cracks and not being able to support and take care of. Here she's trying to do everything right, and they still won't give it to her.
They still won't give it to her.
And they still won't give it to her. So I could kind of feel the resentment and the anger in the process. It's like, man, And then here you have the woman who gets up and she goes to work every day. She scuffles every day to provide for her kids. And here, Sharika, she getting in line. She holding up the whole line. And then not only is she holding up the whole line in the grocery store, she got to call her mama for the PIN number to the link card. PIN number is what? What your PIN number is? 2476. What? That don't work. Hold on. That don't work. Hold on. She holding up the whole process. Her mother was on it when they had food stamps, not link card, food stamps. Now it's transitioned over. Prime example, McGee example. My child's mother. She receives food stamps. And I had to bring her back full circle and let her know. We share our daughter. I get her half the week. She gets her the other half the week. But I got to bring her back full circle while you're trying to figure out what I'm paying. Let's understand. If something happens with my daughter, I have to spend cash out for medical. If something happens for my daughter, I buy my food cash, and I'm self-employed. So that means if I don't work, I truly don't eat. That means she doesn't eat. But here all along, you get up, you're doing barely just enough, and you go to the link card to buy the groceries. That's one bill that you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about coming out of your personal pocket. You're a healthy individual. There's nothing wrong with you. You have sound mind and body and everything else. You're not destitute. But yet and still, you prey upon it. And then you want to look down at other people. No. It's just my opinion. I see both sides of the aisle. I see the people who really need it. And then I see the people who just taking advantage of a system because it's placed there.
So we're basically, man, I see where you're going at with it, man. You're saying, like, some people, they doing their thing, and, and some people do deserve it. You know what I'm saying? It's not a problem with the system itself. It's a problem with the people that's really taking advantage of the system, right?
Correct.
Okay. And now, you also, too, man, was another point that you raised up, too, man. You was like, you said something about your kid's mother. You said that she getting stamps and stuff like that and the link card and all that stuff, whatever. And she's not even trying to help you out. Like, she won't even give you, like, a couple of dollars.
No, it's I think she has asked me one time. She asked her through the duration of us with our daughters between our daughters. She has asked me, and she's come full circle and asked me if I need anything. But it was under the act of, do you need anything because I need something from you? So do you need any food in your refrigerator? Because I really need something from you. But it wasn't a wholeheartedly, sincerely thing of saying, hey, I'm we're sharing the child, and I know I got the link card, so, here, let me put the food in your refrigerator because I know you're struggling, scuffling, just like the rest of the people here in America. You know, so if I have a gift, I'm gonna share the gift that that I have. And I'm not gonna lie to you, my pride would not let me accept it. My pride turned around and said, I would not let me accept it. But a part of the other side of my pride is because I put so much faith in God that God, at the end of the day, He knows all my needs and wants, so He provides. I put my whole being into, when the mortgage needs to be paid, I'm worried, but I don't put my whole self into it as far as being stressed out or where is this next money come from, this, that, and the other, because every time when it seems like nothing is going to come in, something always comes in. That's what I put my faith in God, though.
Okay. Okay, that's what's up, man. Well, look, man, I tell you what, man, since we got a mouthful going on over here, man, so what I'm going to do is, man, I'm going to play another song, then we'll come back in, man. It's a caller, man, calls keep coming in and they keep fading out, man. We got calls from Philadelphia, people calling in from that end of the town, man. So what I'm going to do is this, man, I'm going to play a song, and then hopefully, man, people calling in. So I don't know, check it out. The number here is 347-838-9106, press the number one button. If your phone keeps dropping in and out, man, just keep calling in. That way I still see you on my board, on my screen, so I might get to you, man. I do apologize for that. All right, let's go. I'm going to play this song here, man, my boy Matty Rico. Just a couple, it's the whole game, man. It's called Sweet Home Chicago, man. I want y'all to check them out. Let me know what y'all think. Let's go.
The skyline. The street lights and people take me away. Dark nights, a dream light. I wanna go to Chicago, sweet home Chicago. Sweet home Chicago. Home Chicago, sweet home Chicago. Yo, I'm from the city of murder. You ever heard of it? Well, motherfuckers is serving bricks to the idol like furnishing. A fire couldn't burnish it. A dive is all black. A spy for all that we lack. Caps go forward and yo, whack. Get one to the back. Wondering back when I was a shorty. My uncle spilling his 40. I thought that this life was for me. Society's favorite story. They painting the only picture they showed him. You give him death and he know it. He see that gun, it's heroic. She see that money, she blowing. She open wide and she closed off. It's a closed book. Just know that we partook. Didn't notice the hard times. The point we decided to feed our family with small crimes. We all trying to get by, get going to move over it. Founding father orphanage trying to become more than a stat. A number societal sad fact. When you breathe in our city, inhale all that.
You see the popo say on patrol. One thing about the wind and them guns that y'all like to blow. No, it's not a compliment. I actually think it's foolish. It's like a downtrend and the kids think it's foolish. But it's not all bad. And the shot, we have our good
we
time.
Big pretty girls walking around showing they bad.
They bad.
Jack City, I love it here. And I'm proud to be here. Feeling stressed out. Corner store. Grab a loose cup.
A lot of things to do. So go ahead and hire your mama.
Yo,
when you walk outside that door, you need your Bible and your
Yo,
gun. I've seen Christians put that Bible down for a gun. Running like dump. Run for a single run.
Run
back to the east side. East side to the west side. Run out right to the south side. But I ask God to bless all sides. Shout out to my city.
Yeah.
Boy, I love the shine.
Yeah.
So I raise my right hand.
This one.
Sweet home Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
get you home. Cause we be putting off all the people that put us on. Yeah, I love the city, put it in all the songs. And if you feel the same, feel free to sing along. Summertown, they got us, yeah. Magazines and spotters, yeah. Say you did it for the city, made it there, forgot us. Gotta make this better, streets could come together. Cause all the death rates should rise with the weather. We is one and the same, break away the chain. Cause when the kids die, we all is feeling the pain. And it's for everybody trying to make it out the corner, yeah. If they break us down, we yeah. Don't build it back stronger. One we time for the city.
Manual. Murder rate raised annual. Wicker Park hipsters flicking bics on fixed gears. I wasn't born here, but I was formed here. Elevated trains, man, we celebrating change. When I was just a boy, we toured with the idea of leaving our Eden deployed by our fears. I've traveled across the city, dramatically different scenes. But the shot lived in me, the shot's what I need, man. I knew the meaning when they tore down Cabrini. Many poor lives are bleeding, not to be heard, a secret miscommunity is sold. The poor, the powerful, our power in their dreams would seem in charcoal. I'm relishing every minute, I'm here until the finish. My faith has been replenished, it influences everything. Simple and elegant, simple and intelligent. My kinfolk are hell of in our Midwest development.
Sweet home, Chicago. Sweet home, Chicago. Sweet home, Chicago. Sweet home, Chicago. Sweet home, sweet home.
Oh, man, that was my boy, Sweet Home Chicago, Manny Rico, Constant L. Burst, and The Gang. I don't know all of them, man, but, man, I don't know if people know about me, man, but I've been representing Chicago, man, Illinois, man, since the day I was born, man. You know what I'm saying? And truthfully, a lot of people don't even know that I'm not even from here, man. You know, I'm really from New Orleans, Louisiana, man. You know, we got so much stuff in our blood, man. So, but I'm Chicago, man. I'm Chi-Town. I'm Chi-Town. We standing up. Man, let me play some music. Because, man, my co-host, LB. LB. Hey, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, man, before we even get it, man, I'm going to have to dedicate this little quick, just quick 30 seconds, man. Because I know I hear your baby in the background saying, Daddy. So, man, I'm going to salute you, man. Okay, that's all she give me because we got to get back to the show, all right? Hey, man, check it out, man. Okay, working women versus public aid women. And partially Section 8, too, right? Okay, that's what it is. So what I'm going to do is, B, man, we're going to take a call, all right? And we're going to go through what it is because the phone lines, you know, they're coming in and coming out. So I don't know if we lose a connection or what because they pick up and they hang up. So if people want to say something, man, call in, man, 347-838-9106. Press the number one button, and we're going to go in. Hey, let me see here. All right, we got a call from New York, man. My boy Joe. Joe, you on the line?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, Joey? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yo, what's good, Dennis?
How you feeling, bro, man? Thank you for calling in on the show, man, from New York, man. You know, I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, word. Yo, remember, I think we hung out once, bro. I think we smoked weed once back in high school.
You said we did?
Yeah,
we did?
I remember the school parking lot with the science teacher.
Oh,
wow.
A
fat swish of sweet with some kush, and there's that fat chick with us, and we were smoking that blunt. Ooh, it was good.
That's so the word. Hey, Doug, hey, what school we was at, Doug?
Riverside High, Chicago.
Okay. That was up, man.
So you're there with us, right?
Yeah, I'm Dennis.
Yeah, yo, we used to hang out, man, remember? We used to drink 40, smoke blunt.
Oh, okay, I guess that was me, man. I was so high, I don't even remember. But it's cool,
though. Nah, you definitely smoked blunt, but I was with that fat shit with my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
I was with that fat girl, man. You know, I mean, she's my baby mom's now, but we don't really, like, you know, I don't see her anymore like that. But, you know, I mean, we were smoking blunts and shit, and, like, it was fun, man.
Wait, hold on. You said she's your baby mom no more, and you don't see her no more? So is she? Hey, is
well,
she
no, I mean, I gotta see it, but I mean, I ain't hitting it no more, man. Some other dude's hitting it, you know.
That's what's up. Hey, so is she on public aid or Section 8 or something?
Yeah, she's on. Well, nah, I mean, she kind of, yeah, you know, I don't even know what she does. I mean, she gets money from this white dude. But yeah, man, it's good stuff. Good stuff, man. You know,
yeah,
hey, it's good to hear you on the radio. I'm happy to have you on radio show now, bro.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah,
man.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, yo, man. Shout out to my man, Boo, man. Shout out to my man, DJ Clout. All right, man. I'm going to head out, man. I'm going to roll up another blunt right now.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in, man.
Peace, Dennis. Be good, bro.
You too, bro. Well, man, that was my boy, man. I don't even know who he is, man, but we smoke weed. We drunk. We got high. Man.
And he's still getting high.
He's still getting high. His baby mama, my baby mama. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? His nickname should be Stay High.
His name is Stay High, man. You know what, man? I gotta give him a highly instrumental, all right? I'm gonna do him like this. Since he's from since he New York, I'm gonna do him like this. Hey, we can't discriminate on no colors, man, so we're gonna go black and yellow, all right? Anyway, man, back to our topic, man.
Back to the topic.
Yeah, man. Let me ask you a question. Before you say anything, man. I know that there is a percentage, man. I know they, you know, we talk about the urban, and we talk about the black community because we are, you know, saying we consider, you know, African American. So we only gonna know what is our thing. So, is it true that public aid makes up over half of the black urban community?
No. That is what they would call that an urban myth. That is not the truth as far as us as a culture. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of us on public aid, but it does not make up for half. A majority of us in this is in any circumstance, majority of us are working class people, that there are a lot of progressive blacks. But we get in the more urban areas, which as far as like Chicago, New York, California, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, you know, Dallas, Texas, you know, the larger cities, there's a large number of blacks that are on public aid that are receiving assistance from the government. But we only make up as a culture, as a whole, African Americans only make up 13% of the population. So by us only making up a very small percentage in the United States, the larger number of people that are on public aid are of other ethnicities. They're not black. Whether you want to call them Caucasians, Europeans, or whatever, you know, or white. Are the larger number of people here in the United States. That's just the fact. Do your math. You know, whether you want to break them down into the Germans and the Irish and, you know, the Polish or whatnot, you know, the truth of the matter is when you see them, you don't see a German, you don't see Irish, you see white. So
true,
that is just the thing. But,
you know,
I think the discouragement with the progressive black woman is that they do get up every day, every morning, and, you know, have to go through the daily rituals. And here you turn around and you see someone else, you know, and it may seem like they're able to afford the same type of luxury.
Right.
Giving example, I remember my child's mother was talking to my mother, and she turned around and my child's mother was like, you know, her sister has a real big, beautiful house, you know, this, that, and the other. And my mother responded to her, well, isn't she on Section 8?
Right.
And It cuts straight to the bone because it's like, what do you respond? She does not own this house. the government actually is paying for this house through the taxes that you, Dennis, and I pay for, that my mother pays for, that a lot of progressive people are paying for these taxes in order for you to live a certain lifestyle, you know, and it's kind of not fair because here it's basically you're getting a tax break and I'm not, and I work right. every day.
Right. Right. Well, you know what, today, man, I see what you're saying, man. Today's topic, man, with what LB is talking about is working women versus the public aid women / Section 8. And I'm going to give a little description about it. The hardworking women are saying that they are mad because they feel that the taxpaying dollars are supporting the public aid Section 8 women while they lay, and this is kind of crazy too, man, while they lay on their backs and have babies and don't have no home training for their kids. What do you feel? Do you feel this is an urban legend or what? So what I'm going to do is, LB, I'm going to go ahead, I'm gonna play another song real quick, man, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump right back into it. We're going to take another call. Hey, man, these calls, okay. Man, my boy Joey, man. You know Joey? I don't know Joey, but I know Joey, I guess. But anyway, man, these cats here, man, the Wave, man, they call them feeling it, man. This song here, man. And now, church folks, I do have to make a clause that I do have to raise to y'all. I play curse music on my show. I play all kinds of music on my show. So please do not judge me. Charge it to my head and not my heart, for those that know what that means. I show love to everybody, especially Chicago. Well, the whole Illinois-based rap, hip-hop, R&B culture anyway. Because if it wasn't for hip-hop, man, none of these brothers and sisters would have an outlet to really show that you could put something visually on a pen and a piece of paper and then throw it on a sound or a track and then share your thoughts. Some of it might be real negative. Some of it might be positive. We don't know. But the thing is, can you imagine these cats, you know what I'm saying, out here? LB, can you imagine like a Chief Keef if he didn't have a rap label out here, man, outside me and him at like 10 p.m., him and his boys, and they ain't got no rap music and they bored? Can you imagine meeting one of them cats one day?
Man, I'd say more or less like this, Dennis. It's more or less like rap hip-hop has affected not just us as a culture. It has affected the whole world. You can go to Japan and they're playing rap. You can go to Australia, they're playing rap. In Africa, they love rap.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, do you feel like if it wasn't no hip-hop music or no rap music, do you think that these cats would you think the crime rate would go up even more than what is already going up on, or do you think that it would be
To a degree, yes, I do.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I think it has given us, we have taken something that has gave us more of an outlet, more of a positive effect on things. So most definitely, I do truly believe that, you know, that has opened up a very good outlet for us. That, you know, a lot of people would still be out there on the street.
Right. That was my only point that I wanted to raise. I still want to stick to our topic, man. That's why I play a lot of rap music, man. So, you know, my church folks. But some people, they ask me, I get a lot of inbox, like, man, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be doing this. Why are you playing this type of music? And I'm like, man, you're judging me. And so it automatically stops the conversation. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm just saying, I'm playing my music, man, because this is a
man,
big outreach to everybody.
See,
you know what I mean?
I say this. Keep playing it because you have to have that bridge in order for you to come from one area to get over to the other side. You still have to. I'm still not going to forget where I come from, you know. In order to bring people back over to the other side, in order for them to see God, the more of the God in me, they have to still understand that I can relate to what you're going through. I can relate to your struggles of today.
Right,
so
right.
Keep doing what you're doing, brother, you know.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. I'm going to play this track. Well, anyway, on the topic, man, say working women versus the public aid women, what are your thoughts? I'm going to play this song here, man. It's about a wave, man. They come out of, they based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, man. Big stuff to them, man. We did something with them yesterday, every Friday night. We do a hip-hop show, 7:30 Central Standard Time. Well, I play rap music, hip-hop music, and everything for them, man. And these brothers called in, and I did a good interview on them. So you guys might want to check it out, man. Check out the archives on his Blog Talk Radio / Dennis Live. We'll go to Western World One, O-N-E.com, and just click on hip-hop. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to play my boys The Wave. It's called Sponsorship and Campaign. Hey, and The Wave, if y'all out there, man, show some love, man. Big us up to y'all, man. Big us up to Debbie for introducing me to these cats. Let's go.
Waving on that loud cloud, draped up in that cushion. You trip out your main girl, I'm focused on business. Never in the same lane, dollars on that champagne. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns.
We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns.
Champagne life, I love her elegance. She talking about a man but told me he irrelevant. So her phone off, Kush rolled up, let's zone off. Undisclosed locate, can't find us on radar. We ain't gotta fuck, girl, but you gon' take them clothes off. Dollars fly like airplanes, sponsoring her campaign. Twerking too, I'm waving. Yeah, I'm waving. Long nights in the caveman. Sipping Tangay, Cosmos full of bad hoes, playing Marco Polo, pizza rocking no dose, homegrown got her eyes closed, that plane leave in the air, gotta smoke the rest of this sir, cause security at gate 8, love abusing they power, shit, I'm switching time zones, our way be a mile long, Latin broad caught an attitude, cause we ain't bringing no tag along, sent the cameraman to England, he wanna see where the queen posts, while the glass is clinking Dijon, ha, caught out a French toast, waving on that loud cloud, draped up in that cushion. You trip out your main girl, I'm focused on business. Never in the same lane, dollars on that champagne. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns.
We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns.
Her life changing, hers too. Out all night, no curfew. Vegas lights with no sand dunes. Cotton mouth, that Kush flu. Satchel stamp with that LV. Carrying case for those joints, nicks. Her Chanel bag got red bottoms and a little space for my green tea. Green tea, Gus Greenlee. Niggas ballin' they own league. Gone Friday night when that sunset, that cannon flash, she can more leave. During the day, she mail be. She see the clumps on this Murphy. Tryna dock herself on this yacht, but this waving for the scary. Deja vu, every day, same life, different place. Memories of past tense, moments that still remain. Can't recollect when we touch down or stepping off that private plane. You racking up these points, girl, cause you can't stop and we switch lanes. If it gets pool, I'll handle it. Till to the slip, cause we on the wave. Night filled with excitement. Flashing lights like Dwell Lace. We can watch the world like Den Day. Hibernate till Wednesday. Next trip's El Salvador. Have your bags packed, comprende. Waving on that loud cloud, draped up in that cushion. You trip out your main girl, I'm focused on business. Never in the same lane, dollars on that champagne. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns.
We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns. We could change your life with these sponsorships and campaigns.
My name is Dennis Live with the sponsorship and campaign. I could change your life on my sponsorship. No, I can't do it. Let me quit playing. Hey, boy, I'm telling you, I'm going to rap one day. Boy, I'm going to bust out in the pew, man. Pastor Mo going to curse me. I'm going to be like, man, I got to do it. Proverbs 17:3. And God said, if I don't do it like, nah, I ain't going to, nah. He'll give me that look, boy. He'll give me that look. Pastor Mo be like, okay, boy.
Man, I remember I used to try to rap back in the day, B.
Man.
And little group I managed called GPP. You know what I'm saying? Gangsters, Pimps, and Players. You know, we were doing our thing. We made a little music video and everything, man. Real talk. You know, did the traveling.
Was Gangsta Pimps and Players the only one that had the short mini midget female dance group?
No, we ain't had no midgets on there that time. We ain't had the midgets backup dancers. You know.
Hey man, wait, man. What I'm gonna do is this, man. We gonna, you know, I gotta put my anthem on there, man. So what I'm gonna do is this, man. Actually, I'm clicking with smooth. I need a little smooth instrument, man. All right. Yeah. Hey man, can you feel that lick? Can you feel that lick? Just a little instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We back on the second segment here, y'all. That's what we gonna do here. Check it out. Bill Gillum?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, the topic is this, man, ladies. It's called the working women versus the public aid women. I want y'all to call in. The number here is 317-838-9106. And I want y'all to just call in, man, share y'all thoughts, ladies, you know what I'm saying? I've been getting a lot of hits on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to call in, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I want y'all to call in and really share y'all points, man. You know, talk to me, Elsie, see what's going on. Bill, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take another call, man. This brother said he got a lot to say, man, so we just going to hear him out, you know what I'm saying, before we go ahead and, you know, say our piece to him. All right, B, so you ready to take this call?
Yeah, I got you, B.
Okay, man, I got a call on the line, man. His name is Vinny. Hey, Vinny, you on the line?
Yeah, Fernando Vincent.
Fernando Vincent is it? Oh, man, what's up, Dow? Fernando, what's up, Dow?
Hey, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, man, well, today's topic, bro, we talking about the working women versus the public aid women / Section 8. Do you want me to give you the description on that, or do you want to share your thoughts?
Just give me a description. I mean, fill me in. Let me know.
Absolutely, bro. Well, what it's saying is, man, the hardworking women, they are really pretty much upset right now because they feel like they're paying their tax dollars and they are supporting the public aid Section 8 women. Well, I guess this is what it says right here. While the public aid Section 8 women are laying on their backs and having babies and don't have no home training with their kids, what do you feel? Do you feel it's an urban legend, or what's your thoughts on it?
Wow. Okay, I hope y'all ready.
Okay, let me turn you up.
Realistically, I feel so many different ways. I mean, I feel the traditional way that, okay, they should go out and get a job and all of that and so forth and so on, and all of that is real. But there's another reality that we got to kick up and consider. At the time that, you know, Section 8 and subsidies and all kinds of programs were being developed or released or given opportunity to the poor, if you will, the thing is that they didn't have the chances and the opportunities that, say, the Europeans had, the Caucasians or the white. And so we got to look at this from a whole nother vantage point. The bottom line is that we didn't have the chance or we didn't have the opportunity. And if we bring it in the context of today, there are so many millions of people that are out of jobs, and a lot of those millions of people, they happen to be black families, black homes, and as a result of the Section 8 or the subsidies, everybody that has a Section 8 is not an individual that's laying on their back. I happen to know a lot of people that have Section 8, and it's not that kind of party. So then if we're going to talk about urban legends and myths and things of that nature, we're talking about a segment of people, just like my brother. He is so intelligent. I'm so impressed with him and his knowledge and what he represents and stands for. And my man, I take my hat off to you, because I enjoy listening to you and my brother Dennis all the time, because, man, you be bringing it. And, I mean, you be bringing it real. But why, if we're going to say that it's all only a small percentage of black people that's on such and such program, then what is the percentage of people that supposedly the working class woman is mad at? How many are really laying on their backs? How many of them are just having babies? How many of them, do we know the percentage of people that go to work and are putting their kids through school and doing the best that they can and have a very wholesome and clean and respectable home with children? What are the statistics? Have y'all considered that? That's my response,
hey.
My first one.
Hey, listen here. You very much so right. Have we considered the statistics? That yes, we have taken that into consideration. But the thing of it is this: there are people, and you cannot tell me that there are not sisters out here that are generation after generation after generation that is on public aid. Yes, they may turn around. See, I think let's back into this a little bit more. I think we have to really look at from once where we came from all the way up into the present time now, where we started to depend upon public aid and the division that when the government afforded these assistance out here to the women, that they could not have a man in the home at all. The government specifically said, if you're going to receive this assistance, a man cannot live with you. That was the first division of the man, because the man could not be there. He helped create the child, but he could not help to be there to help support it. Even if she was going through whatever hard times, the government was like, well, if we're going to give you this money, then you can't accept money from over there. So we have to look at it as, yes, there are a lot of blacks out of work, very much so. But it was at one point in time where blacks only depended upon blacks. But now we're dependent upon a system to help provide for our families, where at one point in time we did not look to that. We looked to ourselves. We didn't go around with, like, as a handout. Yes, there are sisters out here who are on public, on Section 8, EBT or whatnot, who go get a job. But look how many of them were forced to go get a job. Who government said, in order for us to keep giving you this type of money, you had to at least have four hours a week at working. You know, that shit, and these are healthy individuals. I can only go upon my experiences. From what I've seen, my child's mother, her sister's on public assistance. She's receiving Section 8. Her mother's on public assistance. She's receiving Section 8. And she's illiterate. Healthy as I don't know what. You could go down here and fill out these forms, but you can't go pick up a book and educate yourself and get yourself to the next level. You can't. Her mother was on public assistance. Her mother's mother was on public assistance. So it's like generation after generation, and it's like, at what point in time does it stop? I'm not saying that all blacks are on it.
Well, you know my brother, I mean, really, honestly, and I am not in opposition, you know, to you personally or, you know, from that context. But because, and I know you're involved in real estate and what have you, so I come from a leasing standpoint. And because I come from a leasing standpoint, you know, I dealt with, you know, 35th Estate. So, you know, I know what I'm talking about, and, you know, in terms of Section 8 and all of that, the different offices and what have you and so forth and so on. Now, my experience has been, because I, you know, leased apartments and things of that nature, and I predominantly dealt with Section 8, most of the people that I dealt with were working. And they wasn't some ghetto person. I had to go and, you know, and inspect and so forth and so on, you know, for the different owners that I personally knew that I did it for. So at the end of the day, I mean, they wasn't ghetto. They wasn't hoochie. They wasn't, I mean, it wasn't weed. It wasn't the smell of weed and the stench. You came across, you know, a few of them or what have you. But I would say on an average, 70% of the people that I had came in contact with that were on Section 8, and they were women, they were in good standing. Their homes were neat. Their homes were clean. Most of them were working. So I guess from my experience, I ran into the small percentage of them who were not utilizing or abusing the program, if you will. They were utilizing the program to be able to create a better environment for their kids and for themselves. Because without the program, they were not able to do all that they could for their kids and provide the environment that, say, suburbanites are able to give to their children. So that's what my experience, and that's why I wanted to kind of bring this point up, if you will, in terms of it. I understand that there are sisters that are angry that there are those that, you, as you're speaking of in terms of your experience, but that's not, you know, to everything there are pros and cons. There's a positive as well as a negative. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, as we are, you know, perusing and examining and dissecting and analyzing here, we got to be able to understand and accept the positive as well as the negative. And no, I agree with you 100%. A sister that's going to lay on her back and refuse to pick up a book or to better herself, then I agree with all those women and all those sisters that say, hey, I'm angry. But then at the same time, those who have taken this opportunity and utilized it in a way whereby they have created a better environment for the kids, and their kids are doing well, I take my hat off, and we got to acknowledge those too.
Most definitely, most definitely. And then I applaud you for saying that. But let me ask you just one question. Where you stay at again?
On the south side of Chicago.
We're in the same neighborhood then. I'm about to say, cause, man, listen, I need to run across two clients that you got, because I've run across the doozies. I'm talking about some real doozies. My father, he's on property. You know, I remember, and I hate to use this, your name, Dennis, but her name was Miss Dennis. And Miss Dennis was just, you know, trifling. You know, she raised four kids, and all of them are just, you know, I think three of them are incarcerated. One is not incarcerated, not the girl. The three boys, they'd have been in and out of jail all their life, all of this, you know. So it's like, I most definitely see where you're coming from, and you're very much so right on target. There are exceptions to the rule in everything that we deal with. But I grew up, my mother was never on it. My mother and father was never on public assistance. Their mother and father on both sides of the family, none of them were on public assistance. So, you know, as I was always taught, as long as you have breath, as long as you have breath, you should be able to go out here, struggle and persevere and to get to the next level. I'm self-employed, so I got to make it happen. No ifs, ands, or buts. I got to make this happen. I can't, you know, I've been doing self-employment for so long, there's no other option. I can't see any other option, but if I could do it, I know that you can go out here and do it. It shouldn't be any excuse on why you should not be able to, at the end of the day, provide the basic necessities, even if you have to scale back. Because a lot of times we want to live for the Joneses. You know that as well as anybody else. We want to live for the Joneses. We want to look what I got, look what I got, look what I got. And then it steers you in the wrong direction where you fall into that money pit. But now you are struggling. There are sisters out here who, a lady friend of mine, her auntie was on Section 8, And through the Section 8 program, she was able to buy the home that she was living in, you know, which I can't do nothing but take my hat off to her because, hey, you used the program for what it was. After you got on your feet, then, hey, you let the program go. But what about the sisters who's out there who's steadily on it, generation after generation?
You know what I would say to that? Realistically, this is going to sound real crazy. I guess I honestly I got mixed feelings about that. I'm just going to keep it real.
I understand.
Because Dennis knows, my thing is that, this is going to sound really crazy. A come up is a come up. The point is that if there is no start, then there can never be a finish. You know what I'm saying? So here, okay, we have this present existence, this present scenario where all these people are out of work, and supposedly the best thing that you can do is that you're supposed to get an education, you're supposed to get a degree, you're supposed to finish school, and then life is going to be happily ever after. Guess what? That is not a reality, and it's not an option. And are an exception to the rule. And when I say not an option, it is and then it isn't. I mean, if statistically, if it's the so-called so many millions of people are out of work, maybe that's a lie. Maybe the government is, you know, creating some big fabrication. We just avoided supposedly going over the cliff and all of that kind of thing. So my thing is that, okay, if the big pie in the sky is to go get a degree, and then when you get out of school, you're supposed to have a job waiting, then is that really true?
Right. No, it's not true. It's not true at all. I think, not to get off the subject of what we're talking about, but I do. You brought up a valid point. And I kind of leaned in that direction, but I didn't take it where, but you took it there, so I'm going to take it there now.
Well, wait, before you take it, JLB, let me just do this real quick, man. Let me hold on to that, you know what I'm saying? Because y'all both are really good, man. So I'm going to keep y'all mics on, man, but I'm going to bring Pastor Mo in.
Okay.
All right, Pastor Mo, how you doing?
Praise God. I'm doing good, man. I'm just on this Saturday afternoon listening to the program and this spirited conversation between brothers, and I wait to hear a softer feminine voice to come on, and so if there are any women out there, please call in and so we can get a mixture of viewpoints here. But I wanted to chime in, if I may, Brother Dennis, and just add something real quick, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to the comments of these brothers. One thing I wanted to bring into the conversation is the maze, M-A-Z-E. And when I say the maze, a while back they used to put on television some scientists, and these scientists were in a laboratory, and they would have a mouse, and they would have a maze, and they would have some cheese. And the object was to observe the mouse go through this maze to see if it will make it to the cheese. And so they conducted these studies over and over again to see how many times would it take for this mouse to go through this maze, memorize the appropriate way to the fastest way to get to the cheese. And so they would document this, and they would do the study over and over again. Even if they didn't put the cheese in the maze, the mouse would still remember how to get through that maze the quickest way to get to the cheese. And I said that to say this. What has happened is this whole government entitlement or this giveaway or this public aid or whatever you want to call it was initiated to get the people to figure out a way to get to the cheese. And they offered up free stuff to get your mind conditioned. That's what they was doing. They was conditioning the mind of this mouse to get our minds conditioned to get to the cheese. And so as people coming through the 70s, coming through the 80s, who depended on the government cheese or the government boxes that they used to give away, depending on government programs to pay for heat or light or whatever you want to call it, people depended on that for generation and generation and generation. What happened was the government now didn't have to teach the people how to get to the cheese. Now the people taught the people how to get to the cheese. And so Brother LB said now her mother has taught her how to get on government assistance, or her auntie who has been on it then taught her how to get on government assistance. And what it does is it keeps us looking for the handout, and it takes away from us looking at our own ability, our own worth in this world, and what we could do to be more self-reliant, self-sufficient, because we've been conditioned go through things to try to get that free cheese. And so, and for somebody who made it out the maze, I think the frustration with the working woman is not that they have a view of superiority. I don't care how long they've been working. I don't care. You can look at some of these actresses now who used to be at the top of their game making a lot of money. Now they're on commercials. Lord have mercy. Now, I seen Billy D. Williams. At one point, Billy D. Williams was the all in all for black people, but I seen him on a soap opera show playing a janitor. And so we can never get to a point where we feel that we're superior because we got a job and somebody don't have a job. No, what we have to do is say, my God, I made it out the maze. How can I help Sister so-and-so, so she can make it out the maze, and so she can see that that's a trick, that's a trap. But as long as she needed and it's helping raising the next president, help me right here, or if it's help raising the next mayor or the next governor, then we pray that God will continue providing. But however, at the same time, we need to get an understanding or awareness that you don't need to train your kids to grow up going through the maze. Because now 5 years from now or 10 years from now, little Keisha or baby Keisha will grow up trying to depend on the free cheese. And so I just pray, man, that through this conversation that the working women who are upset at the people who are collecting public assistance, that we gain a different understanding and a different awareness that we need to help them sisters come up out the maze versus criticize them sisters for doing what they've been taught to do for generations and generations and generations, and who feel like this is their rightful passage. Yeah, when I grow up, man, you hear them say this. You hear the conversation. Yeah, I'm going out to Schaumburg, and I'm giving me a town. Well, I'm going out to Arlington Heights, and I'm getting me a townhouse. And well, how much your rent gonna be? $23.
Wow.
So and they say it in a way in which it's a bragging thing. It's a good feel that I'm gonna get something for nothing. And so when you hear that, you know that that's the mindset of that mouse going through the maze, saying all I got to do is go these corners right here, and I'm gonna get to the cheese. And I'm going to get what I'm looking for. And so we have to begin the conversation or the dialogue to say, come out the maze. You know, at some point, stop the cycle. At some point, let's start teaching our children about being self-sufficient, self-reliant when it comes to making a living for their family, and not wait on the government to say, okay, here's this new program. And I don't know if you ever been around somebody who get excited every time a new program come out. But here's this new program, and everybody get excited, and they flood down there and get upset because they got to wait in a long line. No, we have to look at the world in a different viewpoint, because the world has changed and is changing so dramatically that it's going to come a time that they just going to stop all of the public assistance. They already attacking social security, and child care, everything. And so we have to get to a point where we say, listen, man, this government assistance was an 80s, a 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s deal. Once we cross that 2000, it's a different ball game. We the only people still playing in the Negro League, but everybody else is on the national stage. So we got to get out of the Negro League and play on the national. I'm going to hang up, Brother Dennis. I love the show, man. Keep it going. Somebody being inspired right now, even if they don't want to say nothing, they might be embarrassed, but I hope that somebody, give me a feeling. I want a woman to call in on each side of the track, and I want to hear what they got to say, because these brothers is running the show right now.
Man, you know what, man? And a couple of women, one female man called in, man, from Philly, man, from Philadelphia, and she called in. Her phone kept dropping, so I've been seeing like a couple of phone call lines. You know, say come in. I ask who it is, and you know, saying they'll be on the line, but the phone line dropped. So that's what I want to know too, man. Call in 347-838-9106. If the line dropped, just keep calling back in until I get to you. I do apologize for that. But okay, Pastor Mo, man, thank you so much, man, for the feedback and the input, man. You know, we already got to put you in, you know.
Praise God.
Man, the piggyback off of Pastor Mo and Brother who was just on the other line.
Vinny, he's still on.
Yeah, the thing of it is this. You brought up about the schools where, you know, here we're programmed, you know, the same way Pastor Mo just said it. We're programmed to go out here to get an education. At the end of the education, there's supposed to be a job. And I think we have to reprogram ourselves, and this is what the point I was trying to get to before, as far as being dependent upon a system, an establishment, and start creating our own jobs. Start creating our own jobs where we're not dependent upon another nationality for your outcome.
Right.
That means, listen, I mean, I'm not the brightest person in the world. I only got 2 years of college. But at the end of the day, I still know the basics of how to read, write, and arithmetic. And here you can look up and find that Dave Thomas is a billionaire plus. He eventually, as he got an older man and about to go to his grave site, he got his GED, but he didn't even graduate from high school. And he started a restaurant, you know what I'm saying, called Wendy's. Not only did he start the restaurant called Wendy's without a high school diploma or anything, he turned around and bought KFC. Bought KFC from the colonel, turned around, restructured KFC, and sold it back to the man. And these are people, a lot of people who have Fortune 500 companies don't even have a GED. They've never graduated from high school, but these are people who have lived outside of the system and put it in their mind and saying, hey, this is the route that we're going to go because I know the basic premise of making a dollar, providing a service. And once I start providing a service, here comes the money.
Right.
Period, point blank. So most definitely, if you run around here and you depended upon this system to take care of you, it's not going to take care of you, not in this day and time. You know, I believe that we were better off segregated than integrated. That's just my opinion, because we were dependent only upon ourselves to make it, and we made it. And there was millionaires in the segregated community, millionaires. But we don't realize that. We want to talk about the civil rights and whatnot and the struggle that we'd ought to get integrated. But at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is no other nationality is dependent upon the system. They're only dependent upon their nationality. The Mexicans are really only dependent upon themselves. You don't see any blacks in a Mexican neighborhood doing any work.
in a Mexican neighborhood. But they'll come to your neighborhood and work, and they'll make a lot of money.
Why?
Because they are takers. We are consumers. Understand this. Reprogram your mind. When dealing down to the Section 8, stop trying to be a taker. Stop, you know, stop spending your money all the time. But this is what I'm going to go buy. This is what I'm going to go buy. I'm going to live like this. I'm going to live like this. Nothing in this world is free.
Hey, so I hear you in the background laughing. Hey, so you think this here, man, so you think it's made like the more of the black African-American people, in a sense, is
you
really...
know, I'm,
go ahead.
I'm only black, so I can only speak upon blacks.
Oh,
whole,
good shot. Good shot.
I can only speak upon blacks. You know, but... but are there other nationalities out there? If you go to Chinatown, there's a whole housing project in Chinatown. It's a project. It's no difference between the black project and the Philippine project. It's still a project.
Wow.
But there's never the get tore down, though.
Wow.
Understand this. There's never the get tore down. Why? These questions that we never asked ourselves. They still have Section 8 over there. There still is affordable housing for them. But why? Why didn't their people get spread out throughout?
You know what's so crazy, man? I'm glad that you did mention that and bring this up, man, all you guys, man. What's crazy to me is that, man, I've been getting my from the phone lines getting blown up, man. The women, some of them get mad because they thought that, you know, it was like really kind of bashing. And my thing was, whether it was bashing or not, you know what I'm saying, I felt like they should have just called in and, you know, and viewed your point. We got a whole bunch of men on the line talking about, now listen, working women versus the public aid women and Section 8 women. The women are mad and upset. I got over 23 people, women in general, and had one Caucasian woman. So 24 people in general do this poll, and not one female, a couple of females called in from Philly. You know, so I'm like, man, so I'm kind of like, I'm not upset at about the whole thing, but it's like, okay, where you women at? Why are women ain't calling in? Why are you not sharing y'all thoughts? Because we are not women. We men. So our point of view is I wasn't on Section 8. I mean, I didn't get on public aid. Actually, I think my mom was on public aid when she was at the age of, she was young, you know, and she had it, and, you know, she had to do what she had to do. But I remember my mom, when she did get on it, she gave me the money, to buy whatever it was, toys, gym shoes, whatever it was with it, or gave it to my grandmother because she was young at the time, and she was going to college, you know, to get her degrees. And so she got the Section 8, and she got the public aid for my grandmother because my grandmother couldn't work no more. My grandmother, you know, when she came from New Orleans and came here and built a life for us, my grandmother was a maid because back in them days, you know, maid service was really like the big end thing. You could only be a maid. But so she came down here, man, got real booming, and it caught arthritis in her hands, and so she couldn't work no more. You know, all she knew was how to clean. And my mother went out, you know, she was young at the time when she had me, so I'm not going to solidify my age because I'm still in my early 20s. So, you know, I had to put that in there. But anyway, man, you know, my mom had to do what she had to do for my mother, for my grandmother, you know, and my mom didn't stay home, you know, even though she was on, you know, public aid, Section 8, whatever, she still went out, man. She got her degrees at Tranco Business School back then when it was Tranco. And she, you know, she got her bachelor's degree and all that stuff. She be throwing it in my face because all I got is associates. You know, she be throwing it in my face all the time. You know, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. I was that and the other. And to make a long story short, it's like I want to hear from the women. What are women at? I see calls coming in, so y'all got to press that number one sign. What are women at? The women, working women versus the public aid women, the Section 8 women. And what's so good about it is you guys are giving good feedback. You're not gelling on, you know, the fact of, yeah, man, y'all not upset about it. You see what I'm saying? Like, y'all not really geared towards the the negativity part of it. Y'all mainly sharing y'all support on it. Like, man, you know, this is what's going on. There are some people out there that's doing it. So until then, man, until we can get on that, you know, I got a couple of questions that I do want to raise, man. And this right here, this for either one of you, Vinny. Vinny, you still online, right? Okay. Well, LB, this question for you, man. Now, I want to know this. We're still talking about the topic, you know, working women versus public aid women, you know, saying Section 8 women or whatever. I want to know this, and I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. Do a hood rat, okay?
Now,
A hood rat, this is what this guy said, and I was reading a little post, man. I'm trying to find it. It said on the post, a hood rat, what they do is they got a new song or a new beat or new music called twerking. And what twerking is, it's like a mating call to the men and in order for them to get food and shelter. So my thing is that I wanna kind of clarify. So with the public aid women, the Section 8 women or the working women, do you think that a hood rat is just a hood rat? You don't really label that? Because I got a song for them, too. Do you think that a hood rat is a working woman, a public aid woman, or whatever? Because I got to change the subject to the women call in. So, Fernando, Vinny, you could take that. LB, you could take that. And just let me know what you think.
Is a hood rat a hood rat?
Yeah, do you think she's a working woman, a public aid woman, Section 8 woman, or is a hood rat? Which side would you lean more towards if you thought a hood rat was a hood rat? Because I know Pastor Mo said that, you know. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there are hood rats. Matter of fact, you met one not too long ago when I pulled up in the Porsche, and, you know, she's looking. She was a hood rat, you know, the truth of the matter. She had a job. It was a part-time job, but she was still dependent upon a man in order to provide those luxuries for her. And by that, you know, she opened wide, whether top or bottom, she opened wide and said, hey, you know, I would like this to be afforded to me, you know. She was working, but was she trying to strive to support herself? No, she was a hood rat. A hood rat can work, but they're not actually the working American.
Minnie, wait.
Oh,
wait,
I came back. I'm sorry. I got
long
story,
said,
but listen. I really enjoy talking
you
to you, brother.
I'm
going to say this comment and final note. Man, my dear brother, I believe it's LB, man, I can't wait to sit down and talk to you. We got to come together and do some stuff, and I got something that I'm getting ready to do that I definitely want to talk to you about. But in reference to these young women.
Have any of your hood rats had a job?
Real talk. I have to be truthful on the other side, too. I have to go ahead and give it to you, sir. A lot of these women out here, I mean, you know, they can get away with it, don't have to work. They can get $1,200 in food stamps. They can get $1,300-$1,400 a month, Section 8. They really don't have to do anything. And if I was getting all of that, why would you? You know what I'm saying? If you got it like that, and if it's really that easy, then what's, you know,
I mean,
that kind of thing.
Let's be real.
Honestly, that's
pure
lazy.
Let's be real, brother.
And no kind of entrepreneurial or no kind of self-esteem or self-respect, no form of dignity is involved with that individual. So, in essence, they just accepting. They just settling and just accepting what's handed out to them. And you're right, they're being conditioned. It's a system. It's a form of brainwashing. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. You think I know I got to go. I don't know. It's just so hard for me, you know, knowing
hey, man,
that.
What would they do if they didn't have it?
You get what I'm saying?
Well, I know, Vinny, you got to go, Vinny. Let LB say his thing. We're going to talk
to you. I'm not getting off the phone till my brother talk, because my brother
got it.
He got the knowledge, man.
Listen.
That's what's up. So I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to listen to you, my brother, and then I'm going to get off, okay?
Listen here, man. You know as well as I know. Pastor Mo knows, Dennis knows, and anybody else who's listening worldwide of America. A woman is a trap. And how she traps you is beyond our knowledge. I mean, the downfall of a man is three things: pride, money, and a woman. Downfall of a man, key at times. But a woman can have a man, one man paying the rent, one man paying the car note, other man he buying clothes. It's another man who hitting and he ain't paid nothing. He ain't got no job, no nothing. She just love Ray Ray. So Ray Ray is just the world to her. Trust me and believe me, everybody else got to pay. And here she's on, she got 3-4 kids. And I used to think, you know, when I was a kid growing up, like, man, she got all them kids. Man, her body, she messed up. And it's exact opposite. I got wiser. You have 4 kids. Somebody just couldn't pull up out of you, dude.
Wow.
You
hey, you know what? The reason why I said this, man, was because I got something, man. I want to play something for you guys, man, because, you know, I'm a little concerned now. You know what I'm saying? Because I know these women, man, they had me get up, man. I have to get up early, man, and go do these polls, man, to get ready for the – I know y'all probably can't hear me. I had to get up early, go do these polls for the working women. And these working women, I listen to their point, man. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm just going to come at all the women. You know what I'm saying? So I got a track that I want to play for the women, man. I want to say all of them, hood rats, twerking, or whatever. But I'm going to play this song, man. And I want you guys to tell me what y'all think. Vinny, I know you got to go. LB, you stay on the line. I know Pastor Mo, he left the show. But I want to play this track, man. It's by DJ Gat, man. Y'all already know where I'm going with this. Chicago, let's go.
Bettina Sugar?
Yes, sir.
Django isn't a slave. Django is a free man, you understand? You can't treat him like any of the other niggas around here because he ain't like any of the other niggas around here. You got it?
You want us to treat him like white folks?
No. That's not what I said.
Then I don't know what you want, Big Daddy.
Yes, I can see that. What's the name of that Peckerwood boy from town that works with the glass? His mama work over at the lumber yard.
Oh, you mean Jerry?
That's the boy's name, Jerry. You know Jerry, don't you, Sugar?
Yes, my big daddy.
Well, that's it then. You just treat him like you would Jerry.
Yes, sir, big daddy. Yes, sir, big daddy. Yes, sir, big daddy.
That's my
man.
Thing,
you're a
fool. You are a fool for that one right there, boy.
I have to take
I'm
it back a little bit.
Right now. Man, you are a fool for that one.
I have to take it back.
Listen, you took it back, forward, sad. Man, you a fool for that one right there, boy.
Man.
You know, I think one of the most profound things that I heard today on the radio show was from Pastor Mo as far as conditioning, you know, and, you know, the way he spoke about it, how he brought it to the full circle as far as your mind. And best believe, ladies and gentlemen, the system that you are living in will no longer be. When they cut off that child care program this past summer, right before the kids got in school, these parents lost their mind because they didn't know what it was like to get up here and go to work and spend $150 a week for child care. They've got a custom and condition to paying at $20 or $30 a week. At $50 a week. And when they cut it off, all these women didn't know what to do. How am I going to keep my baby in school? This, that, and the other. That's also going to curb the appetite for going out here and being so promiscuous and having all these kids too, where you got to actually sit up here and support them yourself. Having 11, 12, 13 kids at a time. Thinking it's cute. Man, listen. Don't get caught in that trap. These spiders out here, they shooting that web out here for you and they gonna catch you.
Right. Well, you know, man, it was a saying too, man. I was reading about how, you know, they about to put microchips in a lot of these men, you know, said a lot of these women, a lot of Section 8, a lot of public aid people, especially the public aid, they about to put a microchip in them, microchip implants. And what they're gonna do is, when you scan, you gotta go to the store and they're gonna scan your hand. They're gonna scan your, you know, saying whatever it is that you qualify for, they're gonna scan your hand and you can get so many amount of dollars. So right now, I don't think that it's not a total recall movie type of thing no more. This thing is serious now, you know. So my thing is that's gonna be like one of my next statements. So are they willing to give up that public aid or that Section 8? Because they're going to get that implant in them. You know, that's like the mark of the beast. You know what I'm saying? That's in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? You're getting marked, you're getting something on you, you know, that's not of God. You know what I mean? So,
Most definitely.
Yeah, man. So, you know, man, I really appreciate everything, man, because what I'm looking at is now is, man, I don't know why the woman they called in. We got about a good 20 minutes left. The number is 347-838-9106. Call in, man. I'm going to play a song, man, and then we're going to go back into it. And we're going to get right back at it, man. This right here, man, is called Peanuts and Whiskey, man, by my boy Manny Rico and Cotton Burks. And then we're going to get right back at it, Bella.
Okay.
Yeah. Rico. New American rap shit. Yeah, what up?
Yeah, yo.
Fucking with me. Orphanage rap shit.
Peanuts and whiskey, yeah. I'm on a plane getting tipsy, I'm chilling with my nigga Burks, we draped up, you with me, this real shit you gotta see, first class no economy, and even in this economy, this pimp shit is a part of me, y'all ball hard, that's Rico, play the game with no cheat codes, you suck boys, it's deep throw, you peep game with my peep ho, I'm rolling around in my town, bitch, rolling up with that pound ho, nigga tap me these brown switch, cause we came from that ground floor. Okay, my main squeeze, I call her OJ, but a bad juice, my own braids, been popping off for like those days, that make us a Bombay, yeah. Got more stacks than Andre, we eat straight, cause fuck the feds, that's vegetables in my entree, hey, okay, what the fuck you think we do, rep my click from the 312 to the 310, where the time I go, when you bout that life, that time zone switch, jack on ice with a bomb ass chase, and an iPhone off on flyer, shit,
this
I'm
the way we
bitch.
Live our life. This is the way we live our life.
we live our life. It's the way we live our life. It's the way we live our life.
Hey, this twitch, they say I'm corny and I'm late, no, ask me if I give a shit. I rock snapbacks and tattoos and cargo shorts and Chuck Taylors. My girl is a super freaky, your girl look like 2 Chainz. What the fuck you gon' do, man? You lookin' like you with a bang bang. I think it's best for both of us if you change the color your mood ring. G-strings, I pull those, easy like free throws. My swag stick, keep these girls running like a snot nose. Smoke weed and I drink rum and having sex is a lot of fun. I know my mom is disappointed, but oh well, I'm on one. I'm super fly, you super not, you super whack, and I'm super hot. My pocket's fat like Ricky Ross, and I'm famous for the way you walk, man. Damn, girls be thirsty. Damn, girls be thirsty. I never answer when they call, so why the fuck they keep calling me? So here's the blunt, light it up, and let the room get smoky, and satisfy my munchies with peanuts.
It's the way we live our life. It's the way we live our life. It's the way we live our life. It's the way we live our life.
It's the way we live our life.
A million, a million, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said I'm gonna count a million, a million, a million, a million. I'm gonna count a million, 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 yeah. Oh, I'm gonna count a million, second, 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 money to the ceiling. Gonna count a million. I'm gonna count a million. I said I'm gonna count a million. Second, 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 money to the ceiling. I said I'm gonna count a million. I'm gonna count a million.
$1 million money making mission. That's the motivation. The haters see the infinite potential. So. Don't give a fuck, or make that too. I'm getting money over here, motherfucker, do you? Yeah, I'm the wild card, hey, underestimated now. Everything I drop is highly anticipated. Gratitude to the fans and everybody fucking with me. Salute to everybody grinding in the city. Hey, biting, hook, line, and sinker. Hey, y'all need more, cause I only make hits and I give it to them raw. This ink that I bleed on my soul will make a million. I'm universally cute and I'm fucking witty. On the beats I go dumb, I can get a little silly. Don't take me as a joke, I'll clown you in a minute. That's what I'm after, I never stop chasing. I see envy in your eyes, so you never stop hating. I'm gonna count a million. Second, 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 money to the ceiling. I'm gonna count a million. I'm gonna count a million. I said I'm gonna count a million. Second, 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 money to the ceiling. I said I'm gonna count a million. I'm gonna count a million.
Know that I'm a triple threat. Living legend, some hate that. I spit the real and never fake the black. Addressing me with utmost respect. Diamond, though raised rough. tight breath, so you know I'm tough. Any challenge, I'm running up. Competition, I'm burning up. We chase the paper and it takes us. Stack a million, that's a fucking plus. Lavish living luxurious. We counting bags on a tour bus. Checking bags, going global. A million bucks trying to get to know you. All these bands at our disposal. You ain't in these streets, they don't fucking know you. Fuck the circle, team and click. My niggas, we handle shit. We going quick, it's a random hit. By any means, we going get money stacked to the ceiling, bitch. Eating good, getting rich. Spend your time trying to sneak this. Caught you lacking, hit a lick. Opportunity we couldn't miss. 4 million, fuck your feelings. Bottom line, it's the bottom dollar. Bitches all business. Counting millies in the telly. Trying to stack them to the billions. Make a killing while I'm living in my after. Still winning, bitch.
Back in the building. Back in the building. LP. What are you doing, LP? Hey, boy, if I could rap, man. I'd be like, man. Still in church. Just a different day. Y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all want to play? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you heard it. Y'all see you in church. It's a different day.
I mean, Pastor Bosa
was
like, all right, boy. Right, carry it for a second.
All right, here we go. Take it out. Oh, man, wait. We got to take a call, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to carry it for a little bit, all right? Check it out. Today's show, man, we're talking about the working women and the public aid women and the secondary women. So my co-host, L. Filler, check it out.
Check it out, yo.
That's all I know.
Hey, look. Let's do the thing. Dennis.
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Okay, you good.
Okay, we do the thing. We be like, life ain't none but money for show. Cars and houses and up here now on the town, and you know we straight living it up.
What?
We some of my riders and we giving it up. Worldwide, best size that we claim. Player hating, but we down for the game. But life ain't none but money and hoes. Life ain't nothing but money for show. Getting high to kite. Sit the windows for the low pro. Steady knocking. I'm a player in the photo. Dipping on the streets of the shy. We bound to let it ride from the woods to the west side. GPP, y'all recognize the name. Ain't nothing changed because we sticking this game. Hitting, getting this game. Hitting lick after lick. Steady hitting another lick. In-state, out-of-state, and overseas connect. On the first and the 15th, me and my players on deck. Got the whole town on point, so shit won't get drafted. Step out of line, end up in the casket. Red and blue lights, now it's time to swoop. Toss it.
I don't know what's wrong with LB. I'm going to keep on rapping, man, but I'm going to take a call. Hey, caller, who is this? It's number 773656. Who is this calling in?
That's your little cousin, boy.
What's up, little big cousin?
Who is that rapping?
Let me see if he's still rapping.
Because I don't make a living at it.
Okay, yeah, he's going very aluminum. That was a good shot, LB.
Right.
Hey, look, we got about 10 minutes, man. What's up, little cousin? I'm going to ask you this question here, man. You got about a good... I'm gonna give you as much time as you need, okay? All right, the question is this. The working women versus the public aid woman and the Section 8 woman, right? All right, this is the description on that, man. It said the hardworking women, they are saying that they are mad because they feel like they're paying their tax dollars and are supporting the public aid Section 8 women, while the Section 8 and public aid women are laying on their backs having babies and they're not giving their kids no home training. So, you know, is this an urban legend or what? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's absolutely true because when I was working, I'm a hard worker, and it's not fair to me that, like, you know, like, okay, say if I go use, just me and my girlfriend was just having a conversation, and, okay, we go use CETA assistance, right? But, you know, we've been working all year, so I don't think it's a problem. But the chick that sits up and get A every month, gets Section 8, you know what I'm saying, never tried to work a grocery store job, and she got an attitude because if they don't help her out, or you know what I'm saying, like it's like you say, it's like a tradition in a black community. Well, not black community. It's kind of like it's throughout Chicago. You know, that's just the norm. You know, you have
right.
the girls that's working, then you have the chicks that's, you know, they want to get the money, but they want to get the fast money where they get money every first of the month. They get they public aid check, they get their Section 8. Then they looking for the guys with the money, which is crazy. The guys with the money don't want no dumb bras no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, guys
who's your calling a dumb bra? Who's your calling a dumb bra?
Me. I'm
able to fill out this application. I'm able to read. I'm writing. I can fill out this application. I can stand on this line for a long time. Who are you calling a dumb bra?
No. I'm saying. Okay. I don't mean to put. Okay. If you take it the wrong way. And see, that's
what I'm saying. No. Take it your way. We want to hear it. Keep talking,
right,
girl.
Because I don't care. I'm just letting her know or the caller know. You know, that's just real talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's to eat. Oh, so you don't have to take it personal. I'm just saying.
What I'm supposed to do when my baby daddy wants to take care of my kids and stuff? What I'm supposed to do when my baby daddy wants to take care of the kids?
No, this is what you're supposed to do. I'll tell you how you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do, well, first of all, that's our problem now, too. We out here dating, not even knowing what the man is like, because a lot of us already know if your guy never had a job and if he don't do right, man, what type of child support you think he's going to do? What type of child support do you think you're going to get if you're dating a trapper? If you're dating a trapper, a drug dealer, what type of money you think you're going to get?
Hold on.
I just got me a Prada purse. I don't know if it's real, but it's Prada. You know what I'm saying? And I got me some Gucci shoes. The G's is facing
okay,
the other way, but I just got me some
okay,
Gucci
that's
shoes.
Okay, that's materialistic, though. That's materialistic. Okay, but you said your child, though. We're not even talking about you no more. I thought you said you was talking about child support.
Yeah, I was talking about child support. What I'm supposed to do?
What you supposed
Hello?
To do? I,
yeah.
I mean, but
you know, I got my GED. What's going on?
Okay,
Hello?
We're talking about the child support. So is the person working?
Yep. No, I'm not working right now. No.
I'm not talking about. Oh, are you? Wait, I'm getting confused. Are you talking about going after the father for child support?
Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, he ain't paying child support. I'm, you know. I got four kids.
Right, but that's what I'm asking you. Does he work?
Well, I ain't in his business like that.
Hold up. Well, what I want to do is this, because so you basically saying that, you know, but you are a working hard woman, you know, so I salute you. I got to applaud you, too, because she got her degrees, you know what I'm saying? She's doing it big, you know what I'm saying?
I got a degree, too. I got a good enough diploma.
Right. And, you know, I was saying, like, you know, like, we do have family members that, you know, said that are on Section 8, that, you know, so that are public aid, that does need that assistance, you know what I'm saying, because they got disabilities or whatever. And then you said, like, some of the people, man, because I play some church music for them. You said, like, the hood rats, they want to get that trapper. So it's like they pretty much so you said that you are more on the working women, upset at the women that's on public aid that should be getting a job.
I think it goes both ways. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, and then sometimes people that are hardworking, sometimes they may need that assistance. There is nothing wrong with that. But I think people that can and are able, they body able to get up and go get a job. It don't have to be, you know, a 50,000-year job. Just go get you a job. Go to the dollar store. You know, but everybody gets their pride in the way. Nobody don't want to go to the McDonald's. Nobody don't want to go to the show. I started out at the movie theater. Nobody don't want to get these little jobs because, yeah, they ain't paying nothing. But you say you don't got no money, though. I'm confused. If you don't have no money, go get you a job. A job is a job. As long as you got something, somebody will work with you a little bit better if they see you trying. But if you're not trying, how do you want somebody to work with you? You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes no sense.
Wow.
That makes no sense. I mean, it's a motto like, leaders get up and go, and losers just comes up with excuses, and that's just the way society is.
True. Well, LB, what do you think?
I'm still disappointed because he's gonna disrespect me and my baby daddy. But no, I really don't.
You gotta be playing. I'm not gonna even take you serious. You gotta be playing, right?
Yeah, he's playing with LB as a comedian.
Listen, love, you're 110% correct. You know, and I think this is a thing that my mother said. You know, here, you know, she is that she has a pre-existing condition, and you know, she has Medicaid, and you know, through her own business, she, you know, Medicaid kicks in and so on and so forth. But for a little bit of time, it you know, the insurance, she had to pay out of her pocket for all of her visits. And here she's, you know, she's not as healthy, but here you have a healthy individual who's getting medical assistance and dental and not paying a dime, and she's getting up here, and she's just like, ho-hum, you know, like, okay, Jerry Springer is on, and Basketball Wives is on, and this is what it is, and she, and then, like, this time tax season is like, oh, she knows she's going to file her kids, so she's going to go out here, she's going to buy a bunch of clothes, so she's going to be looking good for the next 2 months, she's going to be looking good, and that's it, you know, it. You are 110% correct, sweetie. You know, I think that's what we called a hood rat earlier.
Right.
They twerk music. They said twerking music. They making calls to get a man so they could get them food and cheap. So y'all know you didn't hear the twerk music in the end. But man, Cuzzo, thanks for calling in. Man, I do appreciate it, man. You did bring some kind of truth into the working women that do be upset. And I was trying to listen in on some of the other people, man. But you know, a lot of women, they been hitting me up on my Facebook. And haven't called in, but it's cool though. But man, thanks for calling in, man. L. Billa.
Now, you
know, I ain't
gonna disrespect me and my baby daddies. I don't see that now. You ain't gonna disrespect me and my baby daddies no more.
I could.
Where you stay at,
minute.
I'll fight you out. Well,
well, LB, man, this concludes another good show, man. How you feel about
most
it? You got 30, 40 seconds, man. Go.
Man, I most definitely feel that we need to reprogram our minds and stop being slaves. And that's what we're being. We're becoming slaves to a system all the way around the door. Whether we realize it or not, we are mental and economic slavery. So please don't ever confuse it and think just because you don't have the shackles on you that you're not in slavery. You know, you could be enslaved in your mind in the conditions where here you can't think past two. You can't ask yourself, where are you going to be at 5 years from now, 10 years from now? You know, you're still stuck on what I'm going to receive right now. What about me? What about me? And anybody who has any self-respect about themselves understands it's more than just you out here. There's multitudes of people out here. So you can't just think about yourself. You have your children. You have your parents. You know, have some respect for yourself. Have some goals to reach for. Have some dignity, some morals, some values. Reach for something other than just thinking that something's going to be handed out to you for free and that you're entitled. Because we have this entitlement issue, like we're supposed to be given this. You're not supposed to be given anything except breath and death. Other than that, it's up to you. Do you want it? Do you really want it?
Hey, man, I said 30 seconds, man. You don't stole the show, man. I'm going to go, man. Thank you, LB. Hey, yo, man, that was LB, man. Breath of death, whatever you just said, but I conclude on that, man. I really piggyback on that. A couple of announcements, man. Don't forget Sunday. If you guys want to come on out, man, we having a relationship. I want to say relationship retreat. We have a relationship retreat at our church. For those that want to come on out, man, hit me in the inbox. We start at 3 p.m. It's going to be right before the Super Bowl. Well, not Super Bowl, over. Yeah, man, y'all come on down, man. February 10th, man, this Sunday, man, the church of Pastor Mo, myself, Christ Church and Family Fellowship, man, 3 p.m. Hit me in my inbox if you guys want to, you know, get the directions to the place. Other than that, man, man, Wednesday nights, don't forget Case. Case, you know, he do his thing every Wednesday nights, man, with the Urban Hour. Also, two Thursday nights, we got the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo. And then we got Friday Night Hip Hops at 7:30. So all these Wednesday through Friday is at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Western World 1, WESTON, WORLDONE.com. Click on the links, Dennis Live, Pastor Mo, and Dennis Live, Case and Dennis Live. You'll get right to the links. And then hit us on the archives, man. Check out some of the archives that's recorded and get us in. And then you know we do Saturdays. So on that note, I got to go, man. I'm trying to play my music. LB took my music, man. But I'm going to end it out like this, y'all.
Whether the crib or you cruising. If you ain't tuned in to Dennis Live Show from 4 to 5:30, then you losing. It's about that time. Go on, hit the line. Go on, get your friend. Speak your mind or listen in. You know we about to get it in. Log on or listen in. Dennis Live, you so many internet gigabytes. Bill Gates listening. Love for other blog sites. When comparing the shadow of other cities, it's like bringing cats to a dog fight. When peso spit is pure talent, you couldn't see me if you turned on your halogens, your halvings, a fog light, shat drop bomb, info type, triple dub, westernworlone.com, the shat drop bomb, need some info type, triple W's, westernworlone.com, it's a thin and slide, and it's live.
WesternWorld.com, www.westernworldone.com, Blog Talk Radio, Chattown.